Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. My name is Matt. I am your host. Today is March 26, 2016, and we're going to be here live for the next hour and a half. As every week goes by, I give you an opinion piece, and this week is no different. So I'm going to give you an opinion piece. But if you'd like to become a part of this program and call in with your comment to me, a complaint to Paul. Paul gets all the complaints. I get all the comments and good feedback. And Paul gets all the bad stuff. Anyway, if you want to do that, the number here is 254-773-1400. You can email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com or just go directly to the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Now, today's opinion piece, I call it Foundations and Wallpaper. Foundations and Wallpaper. Ladies and gentlemen, I have two boys. Excuse me. They are young men now going to college. And actually, one just graduated. And with that, though, I get to meet some of their college friends. They come over to the house, they watch movies, they play games, eat food, lots of food, etc., etc. Well, just recently, I got to have a conversation concerning presidential candidates with one of them. When the topic came up, I could hear the uncomfortable gasp of air and sudden nervous shuffling of my family members as they wondered how intense my conversation would get with this young man. Because my family knows that I do my homework and I come up with my thoughts and opinions based on the facts as I know them at the time. They also know that I don't like conversations from people who just talk to hear themselves talk. If you're going to give an opinion, base it on some type of reference material or personal experience. And that's where I come from. I'm firm in my way until you convince me otherwise. If I go through the trouble to study on a topic and someone just throws out an opinion without any substance, well, that person gets thrown onto my pet peeve list as one of those who talk but is clueless to what they're talking about. Now, I'm totally open to changing the way I think as long as there is substantial reason to do so. Okay, so with that, back to the young college student that I was talking to about the presidential candidates. Now, I'm not going to say who he was in favor of because that may, burn a bridge between us. But me personally, I would want our friendship to be, let's say, great again. And if you have half a brain, you just figured it out. So, in the course of the conversation, he told me why he liked his candidate, but it boiled down to one to three issues. And that's fine. But this country has gotten to where, here's the thing, this country has gotten to where dwelling on the surface with problems does not protect or nourish the roots of this country, which are below the surface. And in trying to explain to him what I meant, I used this analogy. The United States of America is a skyscraper. It consists of a super strong foundation and a strong skeletal frame. Everything else is window dressing. The foundation and the frame are the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The pretty siding, the furniture, the window shades, our social programs, whatever you want. Okay, whatever. Now you can change the furniture, replace the siding, and get different window shades all you want. But never, ever chip away at the foundation or allow the framework to rust. Because if you do, you greatly risk the collapse of the skyscraper. The president you pick can either be a wrecking ball or a maintenance crew. Pick the candidate who keeps the building intact, not the one who has a wrecking ball. Now, with credit, this young man, the college student, he listened, he pondered, he meditated on it, and hopefully, I don't know, maybe I persuaded him to think the way I think. And ladies and gentlemen, it all boils down to this. All I care about is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, because that protects everything. You can do whatever you want and try it out for a while. And if I'm opposed to what you're thinking, but it works, so be it. But as long as the foundation is intact and it's not chipped away and put in peril for all those people who protected it, saved it, died for it, so on and so forth, you've got to honor that. You got to honor it. But if you come up with some idea within the confines of that foundation that may work, that I may be opposed to, and you prove me wrong, so be it. I'll say it. Hey, I was wrong. You were right. It works great. Let's keep it up. Fantastic job. Okay? But anyway, that's the opinion piece. That's where I'm coming from. You may like it. If you do, awesome. If you don't, sorry. You can give us a call here, 254-773-1400, if you want to be part of the show. Now, we're talking about show highlights. We got a lot of stuff going on. And with that, I want to break it down as to what's going on in the show. And today, CHL, or License to Carry, I always say CHL because we're still bleeding over to the new terminology, segment will cover the general information about the License to Carry statute. And there's some other things you need to know besides knowing how to shoot a gun. Again, I'm going to be reading three stories from the NRA's American Rifleman. We're going to be talking about the Armed Citizens column, and we're going to read and glean as much as we can from those topics, those true stories. My PEP section will cover survival, but this survival is more city survival than out in the woods types of survival. So this should be proven, this should prove to be pretty interesting. My topic of interest section will go over the up-and-coming events in April for Aaron's Gun Shop. Lots of stuff going on. Hopefully you'll be able to clear your schedules and be a part of it. Today's product spotlight will be a neat little self-defense tool. It's the Mossberg Security 500 410 Pistol Grip Pump Shotgun. Paul, can you say that five times fast? Let me say, it's going to be the Mossberg Security 500 410 Pistol Grip Pump Shotgun. Good luck. If you don't have one of these, you need to get one. And if you can find, if you can find one, they're very hard to find. My gun training demo will go over the shape of your pistol grip versus the shape of your hand and how it can affect your point shooting or just plain shooting in general. And finally, my special guest today will be the superhero of the courtroom, Super Ed Laughlin, host of his own radio show, Law Talk, every Saturday on KTEM 1400 from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. He'll be talking with me about License to Carry, and I'll be asking him some clarification questions on particular parts of the law. This will be great. So take notes. Get your pen and paper ready. It's going to be a good show. Lots coming on here. We're going to move right now into the License to Carry section of the program. This section is going to talk about the general information about the License to Carry handgun statute. Now, when it comes to having a license, it's not all about guns, ammo, and tactics, although that's the most important part, in my opinion. There are a lot of administrative aspects that need to be covered, too, and they are important. Remember, when you get your license, you had to sign off on affidavits stating that you read and understand the laws pertaining to your license to carry. So with that in mind, I'm going to read to you some general information that you will need to know. So I'm going to go to my trusty little handbook here. The student handbook. All the students get it during the class. We read it, we learn, we listen, and we try to retain it so that, God forbid, if we need to use it, we have the information. But this is general information about the License to Carry statute. And there's about eight of there's eight of these. Depending on what the time is and so on and so forth, it will determine how much I get into it. But number one, change of address or name. And this one's important because it's one of the easiest ones to make a mistake on. If a license holder has a change of address or name, or status becomes inapplicable for purposes of information required to be displayed on the license, they must notify the department within 30 days of the change and pay a duplicate license fee. The department has forms available for name and address changes or status changes, which is available online. Failure to properly notify the department of a name or address change may result in a 30-day suspension of the license to carry. It is important for license holders to submit change of address forms as soon as possible because all notices under the statute are sent by certified mail to the last reported address. If the certified mail is returned to the department as undeliverable, the statute requires notice to be given by publication once in a paper of general interest in the county of the last reported address. If the department gives notice of action by publication, the action takes effect on the 31st day after the notice was published. Huh? In other words, a license may be suspended or revoked without actual knowledge if the license holder fails to notify the department of a change of address. So you're living in one place, and you send all your information into the state of Texas. They got it all logged in, but you decide to move and not tell them. And they send you information pertinent to your license, but you're not there anymore, and it bounces back to them. They go, hey, where'd he go? They suspend your license, and you're driving around not knowing any different, pulled over by a police officer, comes to find out you're driving with a suspended license, okay? A lot of trouble. So, because you failed to change your address or your name, so make sure you take care of that. Number two, length of license. An original license to carry expires on the first birthday of the license holder after the fourth... Here, Paul, I want you to listen to this. Tell me if this makes sense, okay? An original license to carry expires on the first birthday of the license holder after the fourth anniversary of the date of issuance. For example... For example, he's looking at me like, what? A license holder has a birthday on 10-14-51. The original license to carry is issued on 4-17-09. And the fourth anniversary of the date of issuance is 4-17-13. The license will expire on the next birthday, 10-14-13. The expiration date of the license to carry can be found on the front of the license. Did that make sense to you? It actually does, but when you read it this way, your eyes go cross-eyed, don't they? It's basically saying, you get your license, 4 years go by, and let's say the fourth year is on January 1st, but your birthday is until February. Even though the 4 years are up in January, they'll keep your license until your birth date. So you have a little bit more than the 4 years. All right, license renewal of license. If a license holder wishes to renew a license to carry, the individual must make application not more than 6 months before the expiration of the license. A license holder may renew a license up to 1 year after the license has expired. After the 1 year, the license holder will be required to reapply as a new applicant. Now, while there is a 1 year grace period for the renewal of a license, there is no grace period for continuing to carry once the LTC is expired. What I mean by that is, if January 1st your license expired, you can't carry anymore. But you have all the way till December 31st of that year to reapply for your renewal. Number four, employers. We talk about this a lot in class. A public or private employer may not prohibit an employee who holds a handgun license or who otherwise lawfully possesses a firearm or ammunition from securing the firearm in the employee's own locked vehicle in a company parking facility. The employer is exempt from liability from the firearm. The employer may, however, prohibit an employee who holds a license to carry from carrying to the premises of the workplace. In other words, an employer who restricts employees and customers from coming in with their concealed weapons or open carry weapons have just changed it into a victim disarmament zone. You have become a potential victim with no way to protect yourself. You can tell that to your boss or whoever else owns the store. Number five, authority to disarm. The statute allows a peace officer to disarm a license holder if the officer reasonably believes, and there's that word reasonably, it is necessary for the protection of the officer, the license holder, or any other individual. It further provides that if the license holder is not arrested and the officer determines that the license holder is not a threat to any individual, the handgun shall be returned to the license holder. If the license holder is arrested, the officer shall seize the weapon and the license to carry. The license will be forwarded to the department, but the weapon will be kept at the arresting agency and treated as any other seized weapon would be treated. Number six, we talk about this one a lot too. Displaying a handgun license on a peace officer's demand. If a license holder is carrying his handgun and a peace officer or magistrate requests any type of identification, the license holder must show both the license holder's driver's license and license to carry. This requirement does not apply if the license holder is not carrying his handgun on or about the license holder's person. That last sentence causes tremendous amounts of confusion. And so what I teach is a third option, but you're going to have to take my class to know what it is. AaronsGunShop.com. Go to the license to carry page, sign up. All right, number seven. Reciprocal agreements. I always ask my students who does not know what the word reciprocity means, and I'll get a couple of hands that raise up. Basically, it is if one state accepts our license and we accept theirs, you have reciprocity, but I'll read it. Reciprocal agreements. The governor will negotiate an agreement with any state that provides for the issuance of a license to carry a handgun, under which a license issued by the other state is recognized in this state, or shall issue a proclamation that a license issued by the other state is recognized in this state if the Attorney General of the state of Texas determines that a background check of each applicant for a license issued by that state is initiated by a state or local authorities or an agent of the state or local... What the... Man... This is legalese. Ed, when you get over here, we're talking legalese. Here's the problem, everybody. You got all this legalese crap. I'm going to tell it to you in a nutshell. If the state of Arizona says, hey, we accept Texas's license, and Texas says, hey, Arizona, we accept your license, guess what? You got reciprocity. It's that simple. The only thing is, you got to, before you go into the state of Arizona, you may be licensed to go in there, but they may have special rules and regulations when it comes to carrying a weapon. So although you have the right to go in it, you have to abide by their rules. Make sure you don't forget that part of it. Number 8, confidentiality of records. I'm not going to read it. It's section 411.192. Confidentiality of records. Basically, it says no one has access to your records except law enforcement. Okay? So that's the license to carry segment. To go over this more thoroughly, in depth, get it into your brain, go to aaronsgunshop.com, sign up for a license to carry class, go to the license to carry class page, and I think our next class is April 3rd. Sign up real fast. We also have another class on the 17th for a combo, and I'll be talking about that later on. All right, moving on. We're going to go to our NRA section of the program. Lots of people like this. I get lots of feedback from this because these are live scenarios, and it's, you know, if you just read it and you don't analyze it, it's like, okay, cool. But when you analyze it, excuse me, and study it, there's flaws a lot of the time, and the flaws are because of lack of training. I'm going to read 3 stories to you, and they're all coming to you from December 2007. Get your pens and paper ready. The first one. A woman from retired preacher Bill Willis's church invited him to take a concealed carry class with her. Though Willis had never been particularly interested in firearms, he agreed, obtaining his permit, purchasing a .22 caliber pistol, and practicing with it regularly. Not long after, Willis's wife, Judith, woke him in the middle of the night and announced there was an intruder. Willis spotted the man darting into the bathroom and quickly retrieved his Walther P-22. Police say he warned the suspect 3 times.
Come out with your hands up. I have a gun and I will shoot.
The man exited the bathroom and approached Willis, pretending to surrender. Then pulled out a knife and viciously stabbed Willis's arm. Willis shot and killed the assailant. Deputies have temporarily seized Willis's pistol as evidence, but he purchased another. Quote, it would be foolish not to be prepared, he said. My commentary. Number 1. For those of you who are not interested in firearms, I say this. I'm not interested in spare tires, but I have one, and I know how to use it when necessary, and I'm thankful for it. Get the correlation? Number 2. Mr. Willis, I applaud you, but when someone surrenders, they either stay in place, get on the floor, or back away. Never should they advance on you. If they do, well, you can figure out the rest. And number 3, as for your final comment, Mr. Willis, quote, it would be foolish not to be prepared. All I can say is, amen to that, brother. Moving on. If you want to be a member, part of this show, 254-697. What's the last part, Paul?
It's 254-77.
There you go. 2547. I was testing you. 254-773-1400. All right. Story number 2. The man's name in this story, I cannot pronounce. I'm not even going to try. So guess what? We have a name change. His name is Fred. Fred was taking his turn caring for his 4-year-old daughter while his wife rested. He was interrupted by loud knocks at the door and answered it to find 2 large men. One asked for someone Fred didn't know. I said, there's nobody here by that name, and I just shut the door as soon as I could, he explained. That's when police say the biggest man took a running start and slammed into the door. Fred, called for his wife to take their baby, lock herself in the bathroom, and phone police. He loaded his 9mm handgun and yelled for the man to leave, but he continued trying to breach the door. I'm shouting, "I have a gun. Why are you trying to break into my house? I'll shoot you if you don't go away," Fred recalled. But the suspect didn't heed the warning. Fred fired two shots, wounding the suspect and holding him for police. "A gun in a good, responsible citizen's hand is a blessing," he said. My commentary. Fred, I compliment you on giving your wife a break by taking turns caring for your child. And I'm sure there's many women out there applauding you right now. You're the great metrosexual. Awesome. Two, under duress, Fred knew what to do. Secure the wife and child and defend his home. Three, Fred, I could not agree with you more. Guns in the hands of good people are a blessing. Which brings us now to story number three. Again, from December 2007. Alana Holbrook awoke to a startling discovery. A man was standing just outside her master bedroom doorway. Police say that when the suspect saw her stir, he bolted out of sight. Holbrook woke her husband, David, who quickly armed himself with a .45 caliber pistol. David searched the residence, finding no sign of the burglar, but noting several missing items. When he stepped onto his front porch, he found the prowler hiding in the bushes and held him at gunpoint for police. My commentary. Number one. I'm glad things turned out well, but I get irritated here with one thing. Mrs. Holbrook, why didn't you get your gun to protect your husband until he was able to defend himself? What if hubby wasn't there? Could you have done it on your own? Number two, how stupid of the burglar. He breaks in, steals things, gets out, and then hides in the front bushes. I would have been long gone. But then again, you know, sometimes you got to wonder about these burglars. Okay. That is the NRA segment of the program. We kind of learned some things off of that by reading the stories. With my commentary, you could probably get a different angle on it sometimes. If you do, get your own show and start telling people about it. Anyway, Paul, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break for about a minute, minute and a half. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to go over our pep section of the program, Survival in the Concrete City. So we'll be back in just about a minute and a half. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I am Matt, your host. Today is March 26, 2016, and still, we're here alive, thank goodness. It'd be kind of funny if I was dead talking to you right now, but we got plenty of time. And everyone, if you don't have your license to carry, you need to go to aaronsgunshop.com. When you're there, go to the license to carry page, and you're going to find the upcoming classes that we offer. I think the next one's April 3rd. So sign yourself up to take a class with me, so you can be on the road to getting your license. I mean, why wait till it's too late to get your license? Defend yourself now. The course time is approximately 5 hours, and that includes your written and shooting test. The fee for the course is not $100, not $75. It's only $60. Trust me, you won't be bored. I've been teaching for a long time to many, many people, and I got lots of tricks up my sleeve to help you do better and learn more in a shorter period of time. So go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the license to carry page and sign up now for a class. They fill up quickly, so don't wait too long. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Now, there are lots of things to learn when it comes to survival. A lot of times people talk about if you're out in the woods, you got to survive, so on and so forth. But what about all those people in the city or just in, you know, a community of some sort? Well, I was looking through the internet, doing my homework, doing research, and I got all these ideas in my head, but I like to get layouts and formats, and I just came across an article here, and this is written by Mark Chernoff, 50 Things Everyone Should Know How to Do. And I'm thinking, yeah, you know, it's kind of good. So that's what we're going to read here. Survival is not always being in the woods, jungle, or desert, lost without food or water. It can be so many other things. So with this list of 50 things that everyone should know how to do, I'm going to read it to you from the internet. General knowledge on a handful of things may come in very handy when you least expect it. So let me start now. Once again, so Mark Chernoff, 50 things you should know, or everyone should know, for survival. Self-reliance is a vital key to living is a healthy key. Let me try. Let's try that again, Paul. Self-reliance is a vital key to living a healthy, productive life. To be self-reliant, one must master a basic set of skills, more or less making them a jack of all trades. In this case, knowing a little bit about a lot comes in handy in a survival situation. While not totally comprehensive, here's a list of 50 things everyone should know how to do. Number one, build a fire. Fire produces heat and light, two basic necessities for living. At some point in your life, this knowledge may be vital. Number two, operate a computer. Fundamental computer knowledge is essential these days. Please help those in need. I was just speaking to an individual yesterday, and I said, hey, you know how to use a computer, right? He goes, no way. I have absolutely no knowledge on how to use a computer. So he becomes dependent. I at least know how to turn it on. So that's a good starting point. Three, use Google effectively. Google knows everything. If you're having trouble finding something with Google, it's you that needs the help most likely. Four, perform CPR and the Heimlich maneuver. Someday it may be your wife, husband, son, or daughter that needs the help. Five, drive a manual transmission vehicle. There will come a time when you will be stuck without this knowledge. I had a crash course in driving a manual in 1983. Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Got a guy being deployed. He said, hey, man, just got my orders. Here are the keys. Chevy Love pickup truck. I'm like, I don't know how to drive a manual. You'll figure it out. You got about 10 miles to figure it out in rush hour traffic. And sure enough, I did, but it was a scary ride. Number six, do basic cooking. If you can't cook your own steak and eggs, you probably aren't going to make it. Seven, tell a story that captivates people's attention. Somebody once told me you can read a story or tell a story. You can read it or you can tell it. Learn how to tell it. Win or avoid a fist fight. Paul, this is good to know. Win or avoid a fist fight. Either way, you win, right? If we dodge the fight, we win. If we win the fight, we win. Deliver bad news. Somebody has got to do it. So perfect the way in which you do it. Number 10, change a tire. Because tires have air in them. And things with air eventually pop. Handling a job interview. I promise sweating yourself into a nervous panic won't land the job. So be calm, cool, and collected. Number 12, managing time. Not doing so is called wasting time, which is okay sometimes, but not all the time. Speed read. I do this a lot. I have to do it when prepping for shows like this. Sometimes you just need the basic gist and you needed it 5 minutes ago. So if you're able to scan through something and pick up the key words, that'll help you save a lot of time. This is another very important one when it comes to social meetings. Remembering names. Do you like when somebody tries to get your attention by screaming, hey, you? I'll tell you what, if somebody screams, hey, you, or honks their horn or whistles, I'm not a dog. I'm not going to turn my head to your command. You either say, excuse me, sir, I need to talk, sir, or you call me by my name. Whistling, honking, all that kind of stuff is not going to cut it. Relocate living spaces. Relocating is always a little tougher than you originally imagined. 16, travel light. Bring only the necessities. It's the cheaper, easier, smarter thing to do. And these are the 50 things everyone should know how to do. This is from Mark Chertoff. 17, handle the police. Because jail isn't fun, and neither is Bubba. Okay. 18, give driving directions. Nobody likes driving around in circles. Get this one right the first time. Guys don't like to get directions, and guys can barely give directions. So make sure you learn how to do it so that the person's not driving in circles. 19, perform basic first aid. If you don't have... You don't have to be a doctor or a genius to properly dress a wound. So just learn your basic first aid on how to handle that. The basic necessities of survival when it comes to first aid. 20, swim. 71% of the Earth's surface is covered by water. Learning to swim might be a good idea. 21, parallel parking. parallel parking is a requirement on most standard driver's license driving test. Yet so many people have no clue how to do it. How could this be? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm 53. I've been driving since I was 15 earlier, but I mean with a license. And to this day, I know how to parallel park, but I have to, my brain has to hurt and figure it out before I do it. Some people, I just see them do it so naturally. So learn how to parallel park. 22, recognize personal alcohol limits. Otherwise, you may wind up in the tank. Select good produce. Rotten fruits and vegetables can be an evil tease and an awful surprise. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, 254-773-1400 is the number here in the studio if you want to become a part of it. If you have another essential item that you would like to share with the public outside of these 50, give us a call, 254-773-1400. Number 24, handle a hammer, axe, or handsaw. Carpenters are not the only ones who need tools. Everyone should have a basic understanding of basic hand tools. Now, Paul, I got to ask you something. Can you handle an axe? You can. Have you chopped down trees before, split wood? It's good exercise, isn't it? Okay. 25, make a simple budget. I must do more research on this one. Being in debt is not fun. A simple budget is the key. 26, speak at least two common languages. Only about 25% of the world's population speaks English. It would be nice if you could communicate with at least some of the remaining 75%. I, your host, knows how to speak two languages. I speak English, and then I speak street. And here in the States, it's good to know street. And actually, it's not street. It's called screet. Living on the screet. Do push-ups and sit-ups, number 27. Improper push-ups and sit-ups do nothing but hurt your body and waste your time. 28, this is awesome. Give a compliment. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give someone, and it's free. 29, negotiate. The better deal is only a question or two away. Number 30, listen carefully to others. The more you listen and the less you talk, the more you will learn and the less you will miss. That is why the good Lord gave us two ears and one tongue, right? 31, recite basic geography. If you don't know where anything is outside of your own little bubble, most people will assume, and they're probably correct, that you don't know too much at all. 33, make a short, informative public speech. At the next company meeting, if your boss asks you to explain what you've been working on over the last month, a short, clear, informative response is surely your best bet. Duh will not cut it. And 34, smile for the camera. People that absolutely refuse to smile for the camera suck. That is according to Mark Chernoff, 50 things everyone should know how to do. And I'm going to tell you what on number 34, don't ask me to smile. I'm not going to smile. If you get a smile from me, you caught me off guard. I don't suck. I just don't like to smile. But anyway, number 35, flirt without looking ridiculous. There is a fine line between successful flirting an utter disaster. If you try too hard, you lose. If you don't try hard enough, you lose. So all you bachelors and bachelorettes out there, find the fine line when it comes to flirting. 36, take useful notes because useless notes are useless. 37, be a respectful house guest. Otherwise, you'll be staying in a lot of hotels over the years. That is so true. If you go to a person's home, it's like, do in Rome what the Romans do. Just look at them. Respect them. In other words, when you come into the front door, you should shut the front door for a few reasons or a couple reasons. Keep the bugs out and keep the cold air in. Number 38, make a good first impression. Aristotle once said, well begun is half done. 39, navigate with a map and compass. What happens when GPS craps out and you're in the middle of nowhere? That's why, ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen my videos before, you've seen the compass on my wrist. I've got compass on my tack equipment. I've got compasses everywhere. So people say, what, you worried about getting lost? And I tell them, no, I'm not worried because I've got a compass. Number 40, sew a button onto clothing. It sure is cheaper than buying a new shirt. And if you look closely, your shirts have little buttons down there on the bottom on your tails. In case you lose one, you got an extra one. 41, hook up a basic home theater system. This isn't rocket science and is a way cheaper than letting a professional do it. 42, type. Learning to type could save you days worth of time over the course of your lifetime. Think about it. If you're texting, like I'm seeing things right now, just think if you knew how to text quicker, how much time you would save. Just think how many more texts you could get through on your phone if you knew how to text quicker. Next one, protect personal identity information. Personal identity theft is not fun unless you're the thief. Don't be careless. 44, implement basic computer security best practices. You don't have to be a computer science major to understand the fundamentals of creating complex passwords and using firewalls. Doing so will surely save you a lot of grief someday. 45, detect a lie. People will lie to you, and it's a sad fact of life, so learn how to detect a lie. 47, remove a stain. Once again, it's far cheaper than buying a new one. And I asked on this, is it far cheaper than buying a new stain, or is it the new shirt that the stain is on? See, it depends on how you read it. 48, keep a clean house. A clean house is a foundation for a clean, organized lifestyle. 49, for all you politicians, hold a baby. Trust me, injuring a baby is not what you want to do. And 50, finally, jumpstart a car. It sure beats walking or paying for a tow truck. Jumpstarting a car, one of the basic fundamentals that you should learn or know how to do. One of the 50 out of I don't know how many more things that you should be able to do, but this was 50 things everyone should know how to do from Mark Chernoff. I was doing my homework, saw the article, thought it was pretty neat, and I wanted to read it to you. Okay, so with that, Paul, let's take a break here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take another break. When we come back in a little bit, we're going to be going over a topic of interest to all the things that are going on in the month of April with Aaron's Gun Shop and how you can be a part of it. So we'll see you on the other side. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program again. Today is March 26, 2016. I'm Matt, your host, and we're here live for the remaining of the program. Are you looking for advanced or specialized training when it comes to using a firearm? If so, you need to go to aaronsgunshop.com's High Cap Adventure page, and on that page is where we have listed our special training seminars. Those seminars include home and self-defense training seminar, ladies only home and self-defense training seminar. And ladies, you love that, whether you know it or not. Combat shotgun seminar, M4 close quarters combat training seminar, semi-auto rifle training seminar, and our PEP program seminar. So go to the High Cap Adventures page and read what each seminar offers. These seminars are geared for the homeowner or regular Joe or Jane on the street. The seminars are not designed for the combat operator or spec operator. So if you wish to sharpen your skills, give us a call. Groups of five or more can arrange for their own private classes. That's the go to aaronsgunshop.com, the High Cap Adventure page, and sign up now for one of our seminars. Ladies and gentlemen, the topic of interest this week is really, there's so much going on, I want to get everybody up to date. So I'm just going to tell you what's going on, and hopefully you can become partakers of it. Because with the stuff that we're doing, it's great information, a lot of fun, get to meet you. And all that. But for starters, I've got two radio shows. One is on 105.1 FM, The Ranch, out of Cameron, which starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and ends at 11 on Saturdays. My second show is right here on KTEM 1400 AM, which starts, like you know, at 12 noon and ends at 1:30. And you can listen to my shows on the radio or via my website. You can go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the radio page. Listen to past shows via the podcast or listen live when the show is on. But please, be sure to like us on Facebook. Go to the page there and just like us on Facebook. Leave a positive comment. Go to somebody else's Facebook page and leave a negative comment. But on mine, leave nothing but positive ones, okay? My next license to carry will be on April 3rd. That's Sunday at 2 p.m. The course fee is $60, and this includes the shooting and the written tests. If you want to learn what you need to know in a clear, precise, professional manner with no fluff, because fluff will get you killed, then you need to sign up for this class. These classes are excellent. It's in your face because you're on the street. Why go on the street being taught statistics and fluff and all this? It comes down to the bottom line. If you think you're going to die, get kidnapped, raped, burned, whatever, in those drastic scenarios, and there's no other way for you to get out of it, and you're forced to use some type of force, whether it be force, reasonable, necessary force, or deadly force, you're not going to remember change of address or reciprocity or all these other different things. You're not going to remember all that. So you learn it, you understand it, and you find out where you can reference it when you need it. But when it's on the street and it's going to happen, you better know what you're doing, man. I'm telling you. Because if you don't, you lost. All right, moving on. Our next gun show will be April 9th and 10th. This will be the Lone Star Gun Show at the Bell County Expo Center. And we'll be doing a live remote from that location. So come on and check us out. On April 17th will be my next combo seminar. This seminar teaches advanced training all the while covering the necessary requirements for getting your license to carry certificate. So instead of paying for two separate classes, you get the license to carry and advanced training for only $165. And that includes a barbecue lunch. It's very limited seating on this. I don't do it very often, so be sure to sign up fast. Go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the High Cap Adventure page and get yourself registered. These seminars don't happen so often. Really, I don't do these combination ones very often. So if you're interested in saving some money, getting both the qualifications to get your certificate, to get your license, and you want advanced training to boot on the same day, it's a great thing. You start at the basement and you go to the penthouse. By the end of the day, you're feeling good. Now, before I forget, on April 8th, we'll be having our monthly pistol competition, our round robins. These are a lot of fun, and it really enhances your skills at shooting. Every month, there's a different prize, so you just need to, you know, give me a call, let me know if you're coming or not, what the prize is, I'll let you know. Go to the aaronsgunshop.com, and at the top of the homepage will be a link for the competition rules. You can use any handgun you want as long as it's a pistol caliber. And what I mean by that is you got some pistols that can shoot a rifle caliber out of it. Just because it's a pistol doesn't mean you can shoot it in the range. It's got to be like 9mm, 22, 380, 45, 40 cal, 40 Smith & Wesson, 357 mag, 38 special, things like that. Can't be 308, 556, or any other type of rifle caliber. Also, I believe it's the 23rd and 24th. I don't have my calendar in front of me. We have another gun show. The real gun show at the Bell County Expo Center. We'll be doing a live remote there as well. We'll have our laser training booth. Lots of people love the training laser training booth. They come up there because I can give them on-the-spot training, no charge. You pay your $8 to get in the door. You come up to our table. You see the laser training. We can show you how fast and how accurate you shoot from a cold shoot. What does that mean, cold shoot? No, it's not 32 degrees out. Cold shoot means you pack in heat, and something goes down, you did not have the time to practice, warm up, the gun is coming out of your holster right then and there, how accurate and how fast can you make the shot? That's a cold shoot. For all of those, you say, oh, you know, that wasn't good, let me try it again. Guess what? You don't have the opportunity to do it again. You got to do it right the first time. So the laser training booth helps you with that and finds out your weak spots, and I can help you correct any problems that you may have there when you're doing it. So those are the important dates that are coming up in the month of April. Mark them down. Be sure to be there, and we'll all have a good time together. All right. Let's move on here. I'm going to move to the product spotlight. In the product spotlight, I'm going to be talking about the Mossberg 500 Security 410 pump shotgun. And Mossberg shotguns, one of the most, they're probably one of the most popular shotguns in the United States besides an 870, Remington 870. The shotgun has always been a popular choice for home defense. There's less chance of missing your target with a shotgun than a pistol in that kind of situation. You can probably afford to buy one. Sometimes they're half the price of a pistol meant to be used for the same purpose, self-defense. As an example, a Taurus Judge, which is a handgun, fires a 410 shotgun shell, and it's probably going to start at $500. Now, you can get a shotgun for around $300 as compared to that Taurus Judge being close to $500. Now, the Mossberg was built on the 500E series of shotguns. It's lightweight, approximately 5.5 pounds, has an 18.5-inch barrel, comes with a spreader choke, which spreads the shot wider, quicker. And what I mean by that is this. Most chokes, if people are familiar with chokes, chokes constrict the shot as it comes out of the barrel so that it goes further down range before it opens up, so that it has a greater distance before it opens up. The spreader choke, because you have to maintain NFA rules, the barrel has to be 18.5 inches long. What it does with the spreader choke, it enables the shot to spread out quicker as though it might have been on a 14-inch barrel. But this way you're in the laws and the legal aspects of carrying that shotgun. Now, this model comes with a pistol grip. Other models come with a full-length stock. The recoil when firing the shotgun is minimal, which makes it an excellent choice for home defense for those who are not able to handle a 20 or a 12-gauge shotgun. And because it's small and lightweight, it makes it easy to maneuver around corners and tight spaces. This shotgun is also good for the prepper who wants a defense weapon and a hunting weapon. You can attach it to your backpack, sling it over your shoulder, put it in your trunk of the car. It's handy and ready for use in a flash of a rack. You know, in a flash and a rack, you got your shotgun up and ready to go. So what I want to do now with the video here, I'm going to show you and show you the details of the shotgun. But what's the first thing we do when we get a weapon? We're going to check to make sure it's not loaded, right? So I'm going to press the lever here to allow me to release the bolt to go to the rear. I'm checking the chamber. The chamber's clear, and the mag tube is empty. Weapon is on safe. This gun is safe and unloaded. This is the Mossberg 500 security pump in 410 gauge. It's lightweight. It's only about 5.5 pounds. When you put your hand in the middle between the foregrip and the receiver, it balances beautifully. It's short in its overall length, so if I have to, I can literally carry it on my chest like you're seeing in the video and turn corners without any constriction, without the barrel popping out so that the threat can see where I'm coming from first. I've got 6 shots in the tube. So when I pull one, when I shoot one, if I need some more, I got 5 that are backing me up. The pistol grip makes it for close quarter combat. We've got a front bead sight, a gold looking bead sight up in the front for quick sight acquisition. It's slim and trim as compared to your 12 and 20 gauges. It also has access where you can put sling swivels on, which I've done on this one. I put my sling swivels on here and I've attached a sling to it. So you can put it over your shoulder. Or, hold on 1 second, if you're looking in the video, we have a gun scabbard here. I could put this shotgun in my gun scabbard, and then I can sling the gun scabbard over my shoulder. Or, because this one is designed with MOLLE straps, if you've got a backpack of some sort that allows for MOLLE strap attachments, you can put this on the side of your backpack. What was that, something Jewel? Those actors, that movie where the guy's got the shotgun behind him on his backpack and he just pulls it up over his shoulders. It's a great way to do the same thing. But it's compact, portable, and the recoil is not that much. So for somebody who can't handle a 12-gauge or a 20-gauge, this would be a great compromise to have in the home. And here's one very important factor. One important factor, major factor when it comes to shotguns. And if you'll listen, you don't have to see this on video. Just listen to this. If you hear that coming down a dark hallway, you're going to stop. And if you don't stop, there's this curved little item inside a trigger guard called a trigger. You pull it, and then you do this again and get ready if he keeps coming, okay? So not only is the shotgun very effective, not only is it affordable, Not only is it compact and portable, but its sound is devastating to the person who hears it in the middle of the night. It's going to stop them in their tracks. So that we're talking about the Mossberg 500 Security 410 Pump Shotgun. You can go to my website, aaronsgunshop.com, and go to the Gallery of Gun page. But be advised, here's a note. I'm updating my FFL. It's going from a proprietorship to a license or a limited liability corporation. So in the process, I'm suspended until the license actually comes. So I can't sell you anything, but you sure as heck can look at it. I should get that license soon, and when it does, we'll be up and running again. And if you find something there, once again, you can get great guns for great prices at aaronsgunshop.com. Okay, Paul, I'm right on time. We're going to end that segment, and now we're going to move right into our gun training demo before we get to the top of the hour, and then we have our special guest, Ed Laughlin. He's in studio now, and can't wait to talk to him. Our gun training demo. This one is cool. This is one of those in-the-crack type of bits of information. The shape of the grip versus the palm of your hand may help you in shooting, or it may not. The proper fit for a handgun is essential for quicker and more accurate shooting. There are different things to look at when it comes to fitting a handgun properly to you. This demo will specifically cover the palms of your hands and how they can affect the tilt of the handgun. The palms of your hands are either innies or outies. I personally have an innie. Paul, can I see your hand? Let's see what kind of palm you have. Actually, Paul, I think you've got an innie too. You got that little recess right there. I'll try to explain what an outie is. Okay, so I'm going to illustrate to you what the same style of gun can do if you don't pay attention to your innie or your outie palms. I've got two guns here. They're both practice guns. They're not real guns. One's a blue gun. One's a little busted airsoft gun. It's got the red thing on here. But this one's got a magazine. I'll go through the protocol. We'll take the mag out. Magazine's empty. Pull the fake slide to the rear. Gun's clear, okay? But I want you to look at something. These are both 1911s. They have the same body style. But there's one difference on these two guns, and I brought them in specifically for this demo. On this 1911, the main spring housing, the part that goes into your palm, is flat, straight, up and down. No arch, no curve, no nothing, okay? This one, same gun, has an arched main spring housing. Sticks out. We're going to the video here now. If you're looking at my hand, you may be able to see this. I hope you can. I'm going to try in different angles. But right here, as you look at the thumb, the meaty part of my thumb, it kind of overhangs my palm, causing a hollow spot. That hollow spot will not work very well if I use the flat strap gun. And I'm just trying to show it to you. Paul, I may have to get closer on this video. So if you hear noise, I'm moving the mic. There's my palm. I'm putting the gun in my hand. Do you notice the gap between the palm of my hand and that flat strap? When I go to grab the gun is going to shift down. Can you see that? I'm shifting down because I'm pulling it in. That's going to cause me to automatically shoot low. So if I'm aiming towards center mass, the chest, and I have a gun with my hand being in any palm, and I'm using a flat strap gun, the gun is going to immediately, I'm already off track. I'm already going to shoot the gun low. Now, if I put with this hand the gun with the arched back strap into my hand, you're going to notice immediately how the arched part of this gun fits that gap in my palm. So when I go to grab it, nothing moves on the gun. The gun stays straight. This works best for me. But now if I have a palm that is flat, there's no hollow, and I put the arched gun in there, now the gun's going to point up because the gun has no place to go in my palm. That's why I would want a flat strap. Since my hand is flat and there's no place for the gun to go, I want to eliminate some of the mass of the gun so that when I grab it, it stays straight. So once again, you got a flat strap, you got an arch strap, you got an innie palm, you got an out palm. So depending on what you've got will determine the best kind of gun that you should have. So now all of you out there in Radio Land, I'm assuming you're grabbing your guns right now. Make sure they're empty. Ammunition's in a different room. Chamber's cleared. Look at your palms and see if you got an innie palm or an outie palm. And look at your hand grips on your firearm. Do they stick out or are they more flat? And let me give you one last example before we go to break. I used to be a Springfield XD kind of guy. But the more I studied, if you're looking at this blue gun on the video, an XD would come out like this and then drop straight down. It wouldn't work for me. I loved the gun. It was a good battle gun. But the problem is I had to think too much. Here's the trick. If you think about anything other than the threat, you're wrong. If you got to think, I've got this gun, I've got to do this to make it work, and I've got to point it this way and adjust my wrist and do all this kind of stuff, guess what you're not thinking about? You're not thinking about the bad guy. If you've gone through all this homework prior to the bad guy situation, all you do is pull the gun out and shoot if you have to. Only you can make that decision. But the last thing I want you to do is think. Don't think about the gun. Don't think about the grip. Think about nothing other than what's your threat, what's behind your threat, where's the bullet going, what's behind the target, so on and so forth, okay? And that's what we do in our training seminars. We go over this left and right, upside down, inside and out. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Check it out. Check out the website. Check out the High Cap Adventure page. Sign up for one of our seminars. You will not be disappointed. And we'd love to have you in class. So with that, we're going to take a break. Paul, we're going to take another break. And ladies and gentlemen, when we come back in about a minute and a half, I'm going to have my special guest, Super Ed here, Ed Laughlin, and we're going to have a whole bunch of fun talking about a lot of different things. So we'll see you on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's March 26, 2016. We're live here for the next 30 minutes, approximately. And I'm very honored and very happy to have a special guest in the studio. We have Super Ed Laughlin. He's got his own radio show, Law Talk, on KTM 1400 here right on this station from 8 in the morning until 10 a.m. on Saturdays. And he does a whole bunch of other stuff, too. He's all over the place doing a lot of things, doing a lot of great things. And I've known Ed for a while. And I consider him a good friend, and he's got great information. And Ed, welcome to the studio. Say hi to everybody.
Matt, appreciate it very much. And I'm not sure if this studio is big enough for our egos, all in one studio. But you know, maybe it is. We'll see.
All right, I'm sure we'll do fine. Ed, is there anything, you know, I don't have a bio on you. Everybody knows you, but do you want to say, why don't you give us a little information about yourself real quick?
Well, we do have 30 more minutes of the show. Is that right?
Yeah, we got 23 minutes.
Well, I've been practicing. I'm a Baylor Law School graduate, University of Texas undergrad, political science major, went to Temple High School, graduated from there. I've been practicing law since 1982. So that would put it 34 years, I guess, now. And primarily at my private practice, I've been in business since 1985, and I have three offices in Temple, Waco, and Killeen.
So easy to say, you know what you're doing. You've got a great history. You've got a lot of experience. You've seen it both sides, and you just know what's going on in the sense of you can give some very good in-depth answers.
What I can do, if I don't know it, I know how to find the information and answers, and I also can refer you to somebody or a client to somebody else that if I because the law is very specific, and I can't be an expert in every area of law.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And we all understand that. But what I like is when somebody says to me, "I don't know that. I know where to get it, but I don't want somebody giving me a BS answer. I want straight."
Okay? I understand. Let me ask you a question. I'm looking at our monitor here. Are we live on the internet?
Not live. Is this
being
recording.
All right.
This
okay.
You good
right.
with that?
Okay.
All right. Now I'm streaming live over my website.
But, okay. Well, I didn't know that. I need to know that. Hello, guys out there.
Now, Ed, what I normally do with my guests is I usually give them a set of questions.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me these 2 minutes before
two
we
minutes
went on
before.
The air.
Normally, I do that. Last time I give you questions, though, you lost them on me. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to keep them this time. But I know you're good at your game, and these questions are going to be very easy for you. But normally what I do is I give the guests some questions so they can give a good answer.
Sure.
But I know you got a plethora of information up there.
Yeah.
And this is pertaining to license to carry, mm-hmm. a lot of it. And there's a lot of things that I see because I teach this class all the time. I go, that's interesting. How would they look at that? And I come from a family of attorneys. My grandfather, my father, my brother, my cousins, all attorneys. I can spin verbiage like the rest of them. I can make you look a saint and turn you into a devil, okay? It's all based on wording, and that's some of the things we're going to go over. So with that, with the time we've got here, Ed, I'm going to ask you some questions, okay?
Okay.
Let's start off with this. I just noticed this recently. I'm against these signs, the 30-06 and 30-07 signs, which tells you.
Yeah.
And here's one that's perplexing to me. Apartment complexes all over are putting up Penal Code 30-07 signs, mm-hmm. which restricts your open carry. This confuses me because it appears that management does not want people carrying in the open. But everywhere on the property, except for in buildings, are not considered premises, which then defeats the purpose of the sign, because once you're in the premise, it's most likely going to be your apartment. So the question is, if I'm checking the grounds out to see if it's the place that I want to live, am I in violation of Penal Code 30-07 if they post those signs?
Well, you probably are, but I think the chances of a prosecution aren't real high. And, it is confusing. And I tell you what makes it even more confusing is every 2 years they change things.
That's right. That's right.
And so, right today I was looking at the calendar right as we were starting to talk behind me. Today's March the 28th, 2016. In two more years, if you're watching this video or listening to this this online on audio, what we may say today may not be what is correct 2 years from now.
But so now, hey, I got to raise my eyebrow at you right now, because I know the law when it comes to premises. And so I'm a little confused at your immediate response to that with confidence that I would be in violation, although you may not get convicted of it. Premises means in the building or a portion of a building. It does not mean the grounds. And since I come into the parking lot area of an apartment complex and it's not gated off and posted there, it's posted in random areas like the post box, how am I in violation of that?
Well, it also may be, of course, you're not a tenant yet, so you haven't signed a lease.
Exactly.
So you have not, you don't know what the lease says. But I will tell you, the lease will say also anywhere the premises would mean the property, mean the parking lot. It would mean, at the laundry room or at the playground area,
so you would
or
say,
the pool. Or
So you would say the fine line is there if you're a signed tenant. Then those rules apply as like you're an employee. You understand the rules of the company policy manual. But a person coming to check the place out would most likely not be in violation unless the management said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And they actually verbally told you. Then you have a verbal command and you have to conceal it or leave the premise.
I think so.
Okay. I would think that would be the same way, but I just wanted to hear the expert say it. That's
all right.
All right, moving on here. Let's talk reckless injury versus civilly liable.
Mm-hmm.
Are there boundaries of where civilly liable turns into reckless injury? And this would be covered under Penal Code 905. Let me give you an example of what I mean.
What penal code again?
Penal Code 905, reckless injury.
I've got my computer here, folks. Well, I'm not on camera. I keep looking at the camera. And I'm not
we're
on
we're live. You may not
okay.
see it. But Penal Code 905, reckless injury of an innocent third person. And let me give you two examples that I give to students in class. And actually, I did this with you, Ed, when you were in class one time. I said, okay, there's a bad guy, and I'm freaking out, and there's 10 people behind the bad guy, and I freak out, and I start shooting my gun, and I have 5 people dead behind the bad guy, and the bad guy walks away.
Mm-hmm.
As compared to, there's the bad guy, I got a clean shot, center mass, but it bounced off a vertebrae or a collarbone, and it goes into the person over to the right about 10 yards into their cheek because of a deflection of a bullet. Now, one I would think is reckless. The other is civilly liable. Can you clarify, talk about
that? Well, I mean, I can read Texas Penal Code 9.05, and anybody that's out there can look this up. You just look up 9.05, the Texas Penal Code, and it says, even though an actor is justified under this chapter in threatening or using force of deadly force against another, if in doing so he also recklessly injures or kills an innocent third party, and that's what you're talking about, third person, rather.
Yes.
The justification afforded by this chapter is unavailable in a prosecution for the reckless injury or killing of the innocent third person.
And, in street terms, that means you're screwed. But what I'm trying to get at is, when does it become reckless, do you think, as an opinion? You can't say specifically.
Well, you know, you can't. I mean, again, law enforcement has this problem. You know, they pull a gun, and you know, it's a split second decision, and it's a, you know, and it's the same way with a private citizen that's open carrying or concealed carrying. I mean, you've got to be trained. You do need to know these laws, but your best defense is not to pull the trigger. And if you do pull the trigger, you've got to be prepared for what may occur. And probably there's going to be both civil and criminal possible penalties.
Can I push you for an opinion?
Yeah.
Because I know you can't make a definite answer. If I'm shooting directly at the threat and the bullet does bounce off and goes in somebody's eye, would you consider that reckless from your opinion?
I would think if it was... I don't. You know, if you had a 9mm and you shoot them and it bounces off or ricochets off a bone or whatever, I don't think that's going to be reckless. But if you know, you empty your magazine,
yes,
then I think and you know, and nothing hits the person,
sure, exactly,
that you're aiming at, then I think you've got some issues.
I try to clarify to my students how what's considered a reckless act, mm-hmm, as a civilly liable act. And I use that example, the same person, multiple shots missing, and I got dead people all around, as compared to a clean shot, but it bounced off a bone. You never know what a bullet's
going
to do.
And it also always depends on who the victim is, you know. I mean, and we got some great prosecutors here in Bell County attorney and district attorney, and they're going to weigh those very, very carefully and take a look at, you know, and everybody that has a license to carry, obviously, are law-abiding people. They're, you know, you can't get one of those licenses unless you're law-abiding and paying your taxes and all the different.
Now, you can be law-abiding and all that kind of stuff, but you can still do something stupid. I've seen lots of people who are questionable in their smarts may have the ability to pass a test, but I question sometimes, hey, you know, do you have the common sense? You may have the smart to answer yes or no, but do you have the common sense on the situation? So I try to push into it. And here's the other thing, too. This course used to be a long course. I think it started originally 15 hours pre-test. Then they dropped it down to 10 hours.
Crazy.
Then it's 5
hours.
I know. So what I've got to do is take 5 hours. And in our instructor course, they tell us, you need to pick out the stuff that's important and give it to them, because I got 4 hours or 4.5 hours, something like that. And then I got an hour left for paperwork and testing. Okay. So here I got to cram it in these guys and gals' heads, and I'm dramatic in my scenario, so it sticks. I'm very animated in what I do, because if you just read this stuff, it's going to go in one ear and out the other, and they don't realize they sign affidavits that state they understand and know the law. And that's, and you're an attorney, if you were to look that up and say, you signed it, you know what you're supposed to do, yet you didn't do it anyway, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And you know, and just because you may remember what you taught them 4 years ago, you know, before you have to renew your license, doesn't mean you're going to remember it at the time. And like, we're going to a gun range this afternoon. It's my father-in-law's 80th birthday. He loves to shoot. So we're taking him. And you know, being able to remember exactly what, you know, and just being reckless. I mean, I'm not used to a gun myself, even now, still. I don't go out and shoot regularly. I need to. I know. Don't chastise me.
I didn't say a word, Ed. I know I looked at you weird, but I didn't say that.
I'm packing right now.
Okay, very good. This is good stuff. I like to hear from somebody outside of my circle. All right, let's talk about now Penal Code 904. Threat as justifiable force. I think this one happens a lot, Ed. This is one of those ones that can happen a lot.
I actually printed that one ahead of time. You said deadly force?
Threat.
Is that what you said?
Threat is justifiable force.
Justifiable. Now, 904?
904. If a person feels threatened, that person can brandish a weapon to the end of the situation, but can't that open the door to legal problems potentially? And also, what would be your recommendations after an event like this that takes place? Let me do it again after reading the question. Let me give you a scenario. Okay.
Give me an example.
I'm on the street. Some dude wants to, you know, take my wallet or something. And all of a sudden, I see him coming up, and I know what the intentions are. He's about to rough me up. Mm-hmm. And I open up my jacket to show my weapon. And I say, partner, you don't want to go there. He sees the gun, and he goes, that's cool, man, and backs away. That was threat as justifiable force. Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to have you answer is this. Is not, correct me if I'm wrong, brandishing a weapon what I just did, and also brandishing a weapon in a very wild motion, aren't those two words the same for the same thing?
I think it is. And, you know, again, these laws are created by people that many times don't have the expertise, and it's just like in Congress in Washington, D.C., half the stuff is passed that nobody even reads ahead of time. And then they have to go back to the next legislative session to clean stuff up and clear it up. And I've never been a legislator, so I can, you know, cast stones all I want to on that. I mean, I just pulled up that 9.01, is that what you said?
04
of the Penal Code, and you know, it's justified when the use of force is justified by this chapter. Okay. So they defined it by using the same word.
I know. We're going to talk about legalese in a minute. Yeah. But what I'm trying
and
to
And also, you're not necessarily threatening to cause death or serious bodily injury.
It's threat.
And you're not producing it necessarily. You're just displaying
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's break this down, Ed. Let's break this down. Clarify for me. I'm pretty confident in my understanding, but I may be totally wrong here. If I showed you a gun in an aggressive manner, that's called brandishing.
Mm-hmm.
If I open up my jacket so you see the gun, is not, correct me if I'm wrong, the technical term for it, brandishing the weapon.
That's right. Okay. And the 9.04 says a caveat, as long as the actor's purpose, that's you,
yes, me,
is limited to creating an apprehension that he'll use deadly force if necessary. That does not constitute the use of
that's
deadly
right.
force.
So
you're just kind of saying, hey, I'm ready, you know, it'd be...
Okay, so we cleared up brandishing means the same thing, because some people are under the term that doing this is bad, doing this is okay.
Yeah.
Although you're within the law to show your weapon, we have a situation now. Let's move to the next section of the question. The bad guy saw me brandish my weapon as a threat is justifiable for us, and he says, okay, I'm out of here. He leaves. What do you think, in your wisdom, Ed, should the person, the actor who got aggressed upon, should do now once he brandished the weapon to the bad guy? What should he do, do you think?
Well, it might be a good idea to at least make a police report. I would think that would be a good thing. Now, you know, you got to have about an hour to wait for the police to come.
Mm-hmm.
and wait.
Business is good.
Yeah, and wait for all the other things that occur. And then you got to, you know, they'll say, why did you call me, sir? You know, it's been an hour or 2 hours since the incident occurred. But you know, you can say, well, listen, I listened to a radio show one time, and the lawyer said to call the police, so that's what I'm doing.
I have access to information that tells me what happens on both sides.
Yeah.
And basically what happens from experience is the bad guy ends up calling up mm-hmm. and making a report
sure.
on the good guy.
Yeah.
Okay? That happened to me personally on a job I was doing. It had nothing to do with a gun. It just had to do with he thought I was being aggressive, and it wasn't. I was being very apprehensive about what this guy was doing to me, but he flipped it around on me. So it can definitely happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did we finish that segment?
And many times the first person to make that call is the one that the police are going to believe.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Regardless of what the true facts are.
All right. Ed, let's go on here. We're doing.
I'm trying to decide if this is my best side, Matt.
You want to sit over here?
I have a best side?
You normally sit over here, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I see in gun magazines and other forms of media gun legal services. I went to one just recently, and it left a very bad taste in my mouth. I tried very hard to convey to my students that using a handgun for self-defense should be the last thing to do.
Exactly.
The gun legal service that I went to had an attorney saying things that gave me the impression, sure, go ahead, the law makes it legal. The policy you get will cover you. I saw nothing but a program trying to make a buck or a lot of bucks by making people feel, no problem, we'll handle it. just sign here on the dotted line.
But what amount of money does it protect you to? I mean,
wait. Yeah. Can you make a comment onto that? And Ed, I really felt slime when I was there. A few people I know made the same comment. So what I want to get at is this. Yeah. We don't want to do that, do we?
Well, you don't, and I've seen advertisements for these programs, and I've actually wanted to go to one just to see what was going on. It reminds me of the just regular trust seminars that they have. You get postcards in the mail, you know, get a free dinner at whatever hotel it is, you know, the Hilton Garden Inn, and you sit in on a two-hour thing, you get to eat for free or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're obviously selling trust there. And on here, they're selling some sort of insurance.
The bottom line would be is why would an attorney coming from Houston be willing to spend his time, money, energy to talk to you? He wants to make a buck.
Of course. That is that. But you know, that doesn't mean necessarily the product's not a good product.
That was going to be my next question.
You know, it just means, you know, if I did I used to do seminars about bankruptcy law, okay, and people would come because they're in debt and they don't know what to do, and, you know, I'd tell them about it, and I'd say, oh, by the way, you know, this has happened to practice bankruptcy law. And, you know, sometimes people would hire me, sometimes not. I wouldn't talk about their individual specific cases. They would have to schedule an appointment to come in and see me. But, again, I wasn't doing those seminars just to educate the public or just because I'm such a wonderful guy. I get that, by the way.
That's different, though, Ed, because when you put this piece of the puzzle in there of guns causing death, that's a major issue changer,
huge.
You know?
It is.
Bankruptcy is different than pulling a gun out and saying, we'll cover you, because I've learned when you get these policies, especially on your insurance, oh, yeah, we cover everything. Okay, I got this problem, sorry, we don't cover that. I'm like, what? I'm paying all this money, you told me you cover it, and, oh, you got this stipulation, you want my money, but you don't want to help me. A lot of the times that happens. I'm not saying it's every time. So that was a bad taste in my mouth, and I was just kind of interested to see what you thought about it. A week or two ago, I talked about the word reasonable as it pertains to license to carry. Now, what may be reasonable to one person may not be reasonable to the 12 people judging you for your actions.
Exactly. Okay.
What can you tell us about the word reasonable and how to apply reasonableness to a situation in a way that others will agree with you? A person decides in a second, the jury has 6 months. So tell me what you think about that, Ed.
Well, let me look it up first. I was going to look up the definition under the Texas Penal Code. I actually came a little bit prepared for that one because there is a, let's see, general provisions, and I don't know if I can find this that quickly, but 9.42 of the Texas Penal Code is involving deadly force to protect property.
Yes, sir.
You know, people feel differently, like if it's to protect you, a person, deadly force is a little bit better, but, you know, you can use deadly force if someone is stealing.
That's correct.
Or breaking into your home or stealing your car or taking your lawnmower. It doesn't have to be a really big deal. And 9.42 of the Penal Code says that a person is justified in using deadly force against another to protect land or tangible, movable property if he would be justified in using force against the other under another section, 9.41. You got to look that up. When and to the degree he reasonably believes, it's like you said, one guy reasonably, all you got to say, I reasonably believe that. You know, I mean,
yeah, but you got 12 people who may counter that.
That deadly force is immediately necessary. So again, what is it? You know, if they're stealing your lawnmower, is that really necessary to use deadly force? Is it reasonable?
You're about to steal some thunder on me when it comes to merchandise like that.
Some guns in your store.
That's a different story. We've had that situation. I don't want to go there. But keep going on the reasonableness, though.
Okay. Well, so, you know, and the next part of this, I'll just read the next part. To prevent the other's imminent commission of arson, burglary, robbery, or aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime, or criminal mischief during the nighttime. So nighttime rules are a little different than daytime rules. Or to prevent the other who is fleeing immediately after committing all these burglaries, robberies, and aggravated robberies and all these things from escaping with property, and he reasonably believes that the land or property cannot be protected or recovered by any other means. So that what that means is, I mean, if you think they're going to take it and you'll never see it again.
Would you agree, you can disagree, obviously, that not only is a license to carry a gun, but it's a license to carry acting skills. Because when you go to court, you got to make sure that the jury believes that you reasonably thought that that was for real. But if you're going like, I'm packing heat like this attorney tells me over here in this this thing we're talking about giving insurance, ah, go ahead, no problem. But if you reasonably believe, hey, man, I had got no other choice. My head's about to go into the bow of the boat. That's the only thing you got for defense for
and yourself. I hate to say this on the radio, especially that this is going to be posted, but, you know, if you shoot somebody and they land outside the house, please drag them across your threshold.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that.
I mean, because, I mean, that is, you know, I mean, seriously, that could weigh on a civil lawsuit, and it could prevent you from a criminal prosecution.
See, I personally wouldn't, I would wait until they came through the threshold. A lot of people say, oh, what do I do? This guy's at the door. I said, well, just stand there with your handgun. As soon as he breaks through, you're legal. I mean, do what you got to do. But yeah. I'm not worried about it until
but
he breaks
at the same time, you don't want to kill some drug crazed 17 year old. I mean, you know, just because they're stupid enough, they, you know.
I had two drug kids or whatever, drunk kids, steal AKs from my shop one night, and they're lucky by 5 minutes I didn't take them down. Yeah. So you take stuff from me, especially when it comes to that gun shop, we're gonna stop.
We had a college kid at Lubbock that came home drunk, and he tried to enter the door. Two doors down from where he really lived, and the owner of the house shot him and killed him. And he, you know, I mean, obviously, his intent was not to do anything.
I read a story about that too.
Yeah.
Okay, we're out of time, so let me move on here real quick. God forbid someone had to use deadly force to stop someone, and the police arrive. What do we say? What do we do so as not to self-incriminate?
Well, you don't say anything, first of all. If they you have the right to remain silent. I suggest you use that. I suggest you talk with legal counsel before you say anything at all.
When a cop's on the site, though, do you just shut up or do you say, officer, respectfully, I want
to remain silent? You just tell them, you don't, listen, whatever you tell them, you're possibly going to incriminate yourself and not even realize you're doing it. And so it's just, I mean, it's not like they're out to get you, but, you know, they've got a job to do, and you need to prevent them from using whatever you may say to twist it to make it sound like you've committed a crime.
Okay. Moving fast, time's running out. I want to go over two last questions, and the first one, let's get a quick answer if you can. Negligence and gross negligence. Can you give us examples of what they might be to us in the LTC people of Texas?
Oh, goodness.
It's too complicated.
I don't know that I can.
Okay,
quickly.
Let's skip that. Because I only got, Paul, how much time I got? 3 minutes? Okay, how about this? When you touched on it, I told you not to steal my thunder. I want to ask a question concerning Penal Code 942, deadly force to protect property, paragraph 3A. The land or property cannot be protected or recovered by any other means. Where does property insurance come into play here? I'll give you an example. Guy's got a $50,000 car.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it stolen. He shoots the guy dead. Go to the courtroom. I always bring up the scenario. Sir, do you have insurance? Yes, I do.
I don't think that applies. I don't think insurance, an insurance carrier, that applies to this part of it. Now, I tell you, you can look at the legislative intent. There are penal codes that you can buy that you can look and you can research the legislative intent there to see if that includes insurance, because that would also exclude almost anything. Because, I mean, most people have insurance.
That's
right. I mean, property insurance on tangible property in their home.
Okay, moving on real fast. Last question. Ed, why is the law most of the time so hard to understand? Why so much legalese? Is it to give the attorneys in the court the upper hand when manipulating the law that others just say, okay?
Okay, you know, I don't know if I can even answer that question in a straight face without lying to the camera. You know what? It is complex. It's unreasonably complex. But then what I tell people is every word in this section of the code, any contract, if you sign a lease, that word is in there for a reason. And you know, you're not ever going to understand it all 100%. I'm not, even the attorneys that prepare them don't necessarily understand it all. They're just preparing for potential things that could occur, and they're trying to think of all the different things that could occur.
Paul, time. All right, Ed, awesome. Finally got
you
on here. This is a fast-paced thing. We could stand here for 2 hours probably.
Well, probably
thank you very much. Everybody, make sure you listen to Ed Laughlin on Law Talk every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10. We're going to have to cut it short right now. But until next week, remember to keep your powder dry, and God bless. We'll talk to you next week. Ed, thanks.
All right, man.
Good job.
your Fox News station in Central Texas. News Radio 1400 KTEM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.